And you alive, he lifted up, awesome God. And you alive, he lifted up, mighty God. And you alive, he lifted up, awesome God. And you alive, he lifted up, mighty God. Just lift up your hands as we worship Him. Our God is awesome. How great you are, God. Mighty are your miracles. We love you, Jesus. Reference God with your worship this morning. Hallelujah. Are you God, or creation? They call you God, and worthy is your name, and we worship your majesty. An awesome God, a greater, and you are God, mighty are your miracle, standing on of your holy name, and Lord, we bow and worship you, and holy are you, Lord?
your mercy never fails me in all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness.
Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your protection, for your provision, for peace which passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. You are a spirit, and where your spirit is, there is liberty. We thank you, Lord, for the liberty that we have today and for the revelation that you bring unto us. Father, be exalted in us and through us, now and always. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Sovereign. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all this evening. Thank you. Thank you. I know God has something for us tonight. I am sitting because I need to conserve my energy. You got to play it smart. Amen. Tonight, I want you to talk to us about what the Lord is quickening in my spirit. Before I come to you and I say anything to you, I have to consult with the Lord to hear what exactly he wants to talk about. And I was truly surprised when he pointed me in this particular direction for this evening. And as I explored to find out what exactly was getting at, I could see the connection with what we're talking about this morning. This morning we talked about the 10 lepers. And one of the first things I talked to us about concerning those 10 lepers was the fact that they were afar off and they were able to recognize who Jesus was. Now, when you're reading through the scriptures, we miss a lot, except that the Holy Spirit points us to particular things, not for preaching points, but to give us an understanding of what is needed. And whatever it is that we need is birthed out of the grace and the mercy of God. So many people have read the Bible. There are people who have studied the Bible, done all kinds of stuff, gymnastics with it, but do not know the things that you do know. I'm reminded of a situation many years ago. I read about this. Two men were reading from the 23rd Psalm. One of them was very eloquent in how he read through the 23rd Psalm. You could tell that he was, very vast in his knowledge and his tone and everything in this great hall. And the people clapped for him because he read it so well. But then the second man came and read the 23rd Psalm. And it was obvious there was something different about these two men. One of them, the first one who was very eloquent with his delivery, was very good. But this second guy knew about the person he was reading about. There's a world of difference between knowing the Bible and knowing the God of the Bible. And what we as believers want to have is the knowing of this God. And the only way we can know him is by revelation. The older I am in the Lord, many times I cry out to God. Even this morning, I cried out to the Lord. I said, God, I'm reading this, but I know there is more to this passage. Give me revelation. Show me what you're saying. What are you saying? I need to know what you are trying to get across. You cannot read your Bible and just say, I read it. No, you need revelation. You need revelation. Those lepers standing afar off, the Bible says they raised up, they lifted up their voices and they cried out. They cried out, Jesus. Now remember, they are afar off. They are afar off. The word of God is very clear that they were afar off. But somehow they recognized who this man was. With the entourage that he was having, walking with, they recognized that's Jesus. And it's not just Jesus, his master. And it's not just Jesus who is a master. He can have mercy on us. Recognizing him is important. And the question I need to ask you, and the question I ask myself tonight is this: do I recognize him? The word of God says, the people that know their God, they are the one who are strong, and they are the ones who do exploits. You got to know God. Not just know about him, we need to know him. How are you going to know him? You get to know him by spending time with him. In the world that we live in, a lot of things call for our attention. Social media calls for our attention. The newsman calls for our attention. People everywhere are calling. My phone every Sunday gives me a record of how much time I've spent on my phone. On social media, it records everything and tells me, this is how much hours you spent. And you know what? Too many times I say, when? When did I spend that much time? Going through Facebook or YouTube or whatever. When? How? But it's not making it up. I actually spent that time. Then I must ask myself, how much time did I spend with the Lord? Well, it's a valid question, because if I want to know God, I need to spend time with God. I need to talk with God. And that doesn't just mean praying and yapping off, saying whatever it is I want to say, and then get up after I say amen and just take off. For most people, that is the extent of their prayer, talking. But if you want to know God, you got to spend twice as much time listening than talking. All those things you're trying to tell God about, does he know about it, or is he getting the information for the first time? You have to inform God. God, this is what's happening. This is what they said to me. This is what they're doing. This is what they're planning. This blah, 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 blah. This is how you talk, but not a time left to listen, to hear what he will say back to you. Now, how are you going to know God if you have not heard his voice? He says, my sheep hear my voice. But you've not spent time. And you think you know God. Come in here this evening. I was thinking, not because I'm the one preaching or teaching, I was thinking how much we miss. You know, maybe you can get away with it from some church or some group, but I do believe that every time we come here, we're hearing something that is of utmost importance. And at missing a service, you're missing some important things that you need to know. And if you had to miss the service, make certain that you go back. Go online. Listen to what was said. And maybe sometimes go over it over and over. I don't know how many times people have called me and said, I've gone through that message that you preached on such and such a time. And every time I listen to it, I get something new that I did not hear the first time. I didn't hear it the first time. But I got it. Now, that word has changed my life. I, too, go back and I listen. You say, well, you're the one who was preaching it. Why do you need to listen? You know it already. Really? Do you know how many times that I'm preaching or teaching the Word of God, that I'm learning something new? So, wow, he knows it, he knows it. Excuse me. Sometimes I'm learning, I'm hearing God speak. And I have to go back and, wow, that thing that you said today, Holy Spirit, that was deep. I need to hear that again. The more I come to know God, the more I have come to conclude, I don't know God. As much as I know, every level of knowledge brings me to that place where I say, wow, I don't know. I don't know. And sometimes there are things that I know that I've dropped. And then many years later, it's like, oh, yeah, I used to know this. How come I've not been using it? It's like having tools in your toolbox and you don't use it. We all need to grow in the knowledge of God. These lepers are far off, recognize who he was. Thou art the Christ. Peter said, when Jesus asked him at the end of his ministry, he asked them, what do people say? Who are people saying I am? Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say you Elias, or one of the prophets. And he asked them a very targeted question. But
who do you say?
It's like,
who do you say that I am?
I can see the Lord Jesus.
Who do you say? I know what they said, but who do you say that I am?
Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Would it surprise you that the Lord Jesus Christ had made mention of that before? He'd already said that before. And yet Peter restates what he had already said before. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The response of Jesus is, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now remember I said, Jesus had already told them that, made that statement that he was the Christ. But now Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. In essence, you can be hearing something and still not get the revelation of it. And it's the revelation of who he is that ultimately brings you and I to that place of empowerment. That's where you get the keys from. Having an understanding of who he is. Who is he? Who is he? He's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. Having revelation. Jesus comes to John the Baptist to be baptized of him. And the Word of God says that he had the clarity and understanding that the one that the Spirit of God rests upon, that's who the big guy is. That's who the Messiah is. Why does he need that? They were cousins. He's 6 months older than Jesus. And he comes to the place where he is to be baptized. And John says, I can do this. I'm not even worthy to unstrap your sandals. I have sandals on today. Jesus says, you got to do this so that the word of God is fulfilled. We got to do it right. I know you recognize who I am, but right now you have a responsibility. That act caused the glory of God to come upon the Lord Jesus Christ. God spoke, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased in you. Jesus had not done one miracle. Not one. But he's recognized by the Father. The Spirit of God comes and rests upon him. And he is led out into the wilderness to be tempted Why? He needed to recognize one. This is important. What I'm about to say to you right now is of utmost importance, because this is a key reason why many people don't receive the manifestation of the Word of God in their lives. When a prophetic word is released into your life, you have to fight with that word to establish it. Let me say that again. When a prophetic declaration is made into your life, you have to fight with that word to establish it. I say it the third time. When a prophetic word is released into your life, you have to take that word and fight with it. Because every time the word of God comes to you, the devil, like the bird, comes to steal it immediately. He doesn't want the word of God to be fulfilled in your life. And so you cannot be laissez-faire about, oh, I got a great word, hallelujah, praise God. Oh, praise God. God said he's going to do this and do that and do that. Yeah. Fight. Don't be ignorant concerning the devices of the enemy. You got to know God. You got to know you. You got to know your enemy. Those three things are of utmost importance: a revelation of who God is, a revelation of who you are, and a revelation of who your enemy is. If you miss any one of those three, you are done. If you know God, but don't know his greatness in you, because the heavens, even the heavens, they belong unto the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. God, the word of God says in Amos 3:7, God will do nothing except that he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The Lord God will do nothing. The only way God functions here is by revelation. You and I need revelation. I need a revelation for me to know who I am. I need the revelation to know who he is. And I need a revelation of the strategies of the enemy. You got to know. If you're still wondering what I'm talking about tonight, I'm talking about revelation. Those 10 lepers had a revelation. That's the Christ. That's Jesus, Master, the one who can have mercy on us. That's who he is. The one who got cleansed, recognized that he was a priest he was supposed to go to. The others went to their traditional system. How many people are seated in churches, plugged into traditions, and stuck in the traditions of men? This is the way we do this, and this is the way we do that, and that's all they know. They're just stuck in tradition. And those traditions have made the word of God of none effect. Yeah. The traditions of men have made the word of God ineffective. I thought the word of God can just do anything. You think? When he says, your traditions make it impossible for me to do certain things. The way that you see God determines greatly what and how God functions in your life. Jesus could not do many miracles in his hometown. Could not. That means even though he tried, he could not. And even though the Father was doing something, he could not. Because of a wrong perspective. There are many who in this house will not receive a miracle, not through my ministration, because of familiarity. Meanwhile, I can go somewhere else, and I don't have to speak for 5 minutes, and miracles are happening all over the place. Same person. What's the difference? Is God different somewhere else than he is here? There's a strange passage in the book of Acts. He says that God was using the apostles powerfully, and the people basically withdrew themselves from the apostles. A strange thing. Sometimes familiarity is, like they say, breeds contempt. Familiarity can bring you to a place where you do not receive because you're too familiar. And because you're too familiar means that you don't have a revelation. Now, we need to be close. But you have to determine how close you want to be. I was very close with my spiritual father. I went around with him everywhere. But I also had a limit to how much I want to know him so that I don't become familiar. So that when he tells me something, I know God just spoke to me. Especially when you're dealing with a prophet, you don't want to talk too much. If, for example, I had a man of God coming to speak here, and I sent you to go get him from the airport or take him to his hotel or bring him from his hotel room to the church or whatever. The worst thing you can do is to start yapping and talking about this and talking about that. No, keep your mouth shut. Just seal it. Be respectful. Give honor to whom honor is due. But don't talk too much. Why is that important? If you talk too much, if that man had a word from the Lord to say to you, and you've been yapping, you might sit down at home and say, that word that man gave to me. Oh, yeah, I remember I said such and such. Maybe he put two and two together and decided that this is the word. Now, that word may have come from the throne room, but now you are finding all kinds of calculus to decide on whether it is really true. And the enemy will use it. So what do? Keep your mouth shut. Say nothing. Volunteer no information. So when that man is speaking to you, as we had my son Paul. Actually, I invited him to come with me to Pakistan this time, for the first time. And, you know, we'll work together to see the move of God. I did most of the speaking and whatever else, and now and then I let him speak and minister to the people. Well, you've seen him move in the spirit here and how he will go in details and call out names. I took him to our church in Nigeria, and he was just hot, you know, calling out names and families and boom, 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 boom. I was getting information that I did not have revelation of. I know some of these people, some of them I did not know, and is giving details. I'm saying, huh? I didn't even know this person was from that tribe. He's calling their tribes. Names. And call that one whole family. One whole family. Started from the mother, went to the husband, went to the sister of the wife of, skipped, went to the husband of that one, says, your husband was doing a business, he lost lots of money, and the woman just wiped out. This is too much. Everyone skipped on and went to a son, and went to a daughter. One family. He covered everybody. He's never met them before. How did he know? By revelation. So can you imagine? It was a pastor's family, pastor's wife's family, that he started with. Can you imagine the pastor has been telling him about his father-in-law and his mother-in-law, we have this amount of children, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Now, what is he going to believe? Was it God? The amazing thing is, I didn't even know these people's names. I didn't even know that the pastor was from another tribe. I thought he was from the same tribe that I'm from, because he sings songs in my language. Meanwhile, he's from a totally different tribe that doesn't speak that language. So I'm there saying, huh? You're from this place? I thought you were from here. I didn't know. Now, nothing that I've just said now is strange to you, because you've seen that happen here. That's a grace on his life. Now and then I would tap into that. I remember going to visit a family dedicating their home. And went to going through different homes, rooms, and I came to the room of the son. I know his normal name, but now I am praying, and I pray for him in his middle name. That is not a name that they use. It's not a name that they've even written down anywhere. So I'm praying for him. I'm praying. He said, Pastor. I said, what? How did you know about his name? I said, what name? The name that you were praying for, that's our son's name. I said, but that's not his name. He said, that's his name. I said, how is that? That's his middle name. God knows you. God sees you. Now, the thing is, God wants you to know him, and God wants you to see him. Because as we behold him, we are being changed into the same glory. We've been changed into the same glory. Thou the Christ. Now, in the scriptures, found in Luke 24 and verse 13. All this time, I'm leading to this particular verse. These verses of scripture. It says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So there's these two men, they're walking on the way to Emmaus, and they're talking about all the things that had happened in Jerusalem, about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of that. He says, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. They walk in with Jesus, but they did not recognize him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? What are you guys talking about? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, responds, answering, said unto him, are thou only a stranger? Are you just a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Don't you know what's going to happen? What has been happening? Are you a stranger? This has been on CNN and Fox News and everything. You don't know? Where are you from? And he said unto them, what things? Are you amazed? Jesus is asking, what things? What happened? What happened? Tell me. And he said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He was mighty indeed. He was mighty in word. They recognized him in his acts and in his words, in his teachings. And this was before God and before man. That's amazing. Amen. Mighty before God. Reminds me of another man in the Old Testament called Nimrod. He was doing something so that he and his people can compete with God. But when you have a revelation of God, you don't compete with God. You are humbled that God in his mercy can touch your life, use your life. And they go on and says, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we, they said, trusted that it had been he we should have redeemed Israel. And now our trust is busted because
the one we thought was going to solve all our problems, is dead. And dead because our own leaders condemned him. And says, I'm beside all this. Today is the third day since these things were done. Today is the third day. And they had given up. Now, Jesus, our Lord, had told them that he was going to rise again from the dead on the third day. They didn't believe it. None of them believed it. Not the men, not the women. Because the women that went to the tomb went there with spices. Because they just put the body in there just like that. And they were going to do some rituals of embalmment and stuff like that. They weren't expecting him to come out. In fact, they said when they didn't see his body, where did you take our boss body to? Where did you lay him? You know, so we can go collect the body. Not one person believed that Jesus was going to rise again from the dead, even though he told them over and over and over and over again. That tells me something. We can hear it over and over and over and over again and still be stuck in ignorance. Not because God did not say, but because we did not have a revelation. The disciples finally, oh, that's why. Oh, we finally figured it out now. No, he's been telling you. You're just figuring it out now? Well, that's us. If God does not give us revelation, our goose is cooked. You barbecue. You need revelation. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father. Every time we come together, we must ask God, Lord God, I'm going to that service today. I need revelation of who you are. I need revelation. I want an impartation on my life that forever changes me, changes my outlook on life. I need a revelation of who you are through the preaching and the teaching of your word. I'm hearing a lot of things, but I want to not just hear a lot of things. I want to see. I want to become one with the word. That's where transformation takes place. Having a revelation. He says in verse 22, he says, and ye and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. They were there, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Excuse me. What are you talking about now? You mean the prophets have spoken about your death and your resurrection? Yes, it's all there. But you will not know except by revelation. You will not know. It takes revelation. You can study all you want, but if God does not give you revelation, you will still be that, oh fools.
My prayer tonight is that we have deep revelation of who he is. He goes and says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Is this not what's supposed to happen? And beginning at Moses, all the way back there? Yeah. And all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He's expounding, but he's still not having the insight of this is Jesus here. And they drew down to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He made as though. In essence, this was the stopping point. But he made them think he was going further. Why? Because he wanted them to want him. God wants you to want him. I see him walking on the water, and the disciples were in trouble, trying to bail themselves out of their mess. And Jesus is walking on the water, and the Bible says he was walking as though he was going to leave them in that situation. Then they cried out, God, we need help. What caused them to want to ask Jesus, who's walking on the water, for help? God bringing a revelation. You see, this revelation is not instigated by you or even your cry for it. It is something that God puts inside of you. That is the greatest form of mercy and the greatest form of grace, that God will allow you to have a sensation inside of you for him. He says the Holy Spirit will draw to God those that he would. My prayer is that God will draw you and draw me. That God will choose to reveal himself to me and choose to reveal himself to you. For it is not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. God has to do something for me beyond myself. And if I am serving the Lord today, it's because of him, not me. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Whatever it is that we need, I'm asking that God, in his loving kindness and in his tender mercies, will activate it so that we can experience God like we have never experienced him before. He's telling us now, we need to be crying out, I am the manifestation of the sons of God. I am the manifestation of the sons of God. That awareness came about because God is saying it's time for that to be. Now, fight with that. Declare who you are. He says he acted like he was going to go further. He says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. My cry today is, Lord, abide with us. Abide with us. He says, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, and blessed it and break and gave to them that their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Why is that important? That as soon as they knew him, he vanished. Because as soon as you know him, you begin to do exploits. As soon as you and I know him, we begin to act like him. It is the people that know their God that are great. They are the ones that do exploits. See, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us about, or talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, did not our hearts burn? That was one level. He's teaching you, and your heart is burning. But that is still not revelation yet. Because revelation comes at the breaking of the bread. Revelation comes at the point of communion. Revelation comes when you go beyond what is written to what is said. Revelation comes. And when we have that revelation, we are on to the races. We are empowered. Did you know that there is a place that you and I can come to where whatever it is that we say becomes what God is saying? That there's a place like that. And really, God wants to take us to that place where your word is confirmed by God, is backed by God. And backed. That's a powerful place to get to. It's an amazing place to be at. But the thing about that place is this, it commands great responsibility. Because when you come to that place, you begin to represent God. You begin to represent God. The angels are there to help bring to pass whatever it is that you're saying. Now and then God will bring us as his people to that place to give us a taste of it. You see how we respond? Unfortunately, many times we respond with pride. Look at what I did. You didn't do nothing. You did nothing. It is the Father who doeth the works. And as we respond in humility before God, because we know him, God honors His word in our lives and takes us into realms in Him. And I believe that God will do that again with us as He brings us to the place of revelation of who He is, who we are, and who the devil is, putting the devil in his place. Let me wrap up with this. In knowing God, knowing ourselves, and knowing our enemies, we also come into a place of awareness of what limits God has put in place. You cross certain lines and you're done. There are certain things God has placed in His control. And reason to help us stay in a place of humility. For example, there's a demonic principality that God has not allowed you nor me, no matter how long you fast, to deal with. In fact, if you mess with this spirit, you'll find out that you just messed up. It will destroy you. It's called the spirit of Leviathan. Leviathan. Oh, you do say Leviathan? Whichever way you pronounce it, you know what I'm talking about. You have not been permitted to deal with that spirit. You can fast for 120 days, fast 365 days in the year, fast for 5 years. Be so anointed. You are not anointed enough to deal with that spirit. It will kill you. Only God deals with that spirit. You don't face it. You don't talk to it. You don't address it. You see it operating, you go your own way. Be smart. Because only the humble truly overcome that spirit. And they overcome it because they are totally surrendered to God and they let God do His thing. Other things you can deal with, but this one, it's like the tree in the garden. Don't eat of that tree. This I left. Capish? Understand? It's about humility and obedience. Believers sometimes talk trash to Satan. And the Bible says that even the angel Michael did not bring railing accusations, but says, "The Lord rebuke you." Not, "I rebuke you." The Lord rebukes you. If you don't know God, you go about, "I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you." And you are dead. You're mouthing off. Your mouth is going to be shut up. Huh? Do you know what you're dealing with? A little witch shows up and you're running all over the place. A witch. But you have your mouth and you're yapping. Talking trash. No, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebukes you. The Lord rebukes you. That should be the one language sentence structure that you have in dealing with anything in the realm of the spirit to keep yourself safe, the Lord rebuke you. In the name of the Lord, you are rebuked. The Lord God Almighty rebukes you. The creator of the heavens and the earth rebukes you. That one who died on the cross of Calvary, rose again from the dead, who took the keys of death and grave from you and shamed you, he rebukes you. That's how you deal. That's how you stay safe. Hello? Is somebody listening? I pray you did, because if you don't, you'll walk yourself into a trap. And the enemy knows how to cause people to become proud and arrogant. I'll tell you a story in closing. You've heard me tell the story of how I had gone to the nation of India in the early 90s, my first ministry trip there, and how God did amazing miracles. That's where I learned, and till today, even when I went out on this ministry trip now, I preach and I say, it's testimony time. God is more willing to heal you than I can pray. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I will pray for the leftovers, but this is how God does it. And I will take the testimonies of those that got healed while the word of God was being preached. And God did his thing. Blind eyes opened. God did his thing. But I remember, after 2 or 3 days of God using me mightily in that stream of grace, praying a prayer, I said to God, I don't want the healing ministry, I said. So why don't you want the healing ministry? I said, because there's too much pressure. What kind of pressure, son? Well, I have to perform. People are expecting. I have to perform. You know, I have to do something. As if I was doing anything. What happened there? Pride. If you were to ask me straightforward, are you proud? I would say, no, absolutely not. Who healed the people? Oh, God did. So why was I praying, God, I don't want the healing ministry, if I knew for a fact that I didn't do anything? Because somewhere deep inside of me was the thought that I was busy doing something that I was not doing. Do you understand? The heart of man is desperately wicked. That's why we must check and cross-check again and again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are crying out to you, O God, for revelation. Without your revelation, Lord, O God, we are nothing. It's a revelation of who you are that brings us to that place of empowerment. The revelation of who we are in you, in Christ, brings us to that place of empowerment. The revelation of who the enemy is, that brings us to that place of empowerment over him. And Lord, today we ask for revelation, for a manifestation of your divine will, your word, your truth, your peace, your power, the demonstration of the reality, O God, of your anointings. Lord, bring us to the place of revelation where we behold you and are being changed from glory to glory to glory. This is our earnest desire. Reveal yourself to us, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for every one of you. Thank God for this moment that we can share together the word of the Lord. As we receive revelation of him, we must pursue him immediately. Those disciples did that. They rose up that same hour. It was late, but they rose up that same hour and headed back to Jerusalem to give witness of what God had done for them. Today, my prayer is this, that we will all rise immediately, no matter what the circumstances are, to let others know that he is alive. He is alive. We have received a revelation of that. Let our testimonies count, because that's our expression of thanksgiving. Be blessed. Be highly favored of the Lord. And may his eternal grace grace our lives so that we are fully fulfilled in our going out and in our coming in, declaring the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. This time let us honor God with our giving. Release from your hands today something precious. Let God have it because you trust him. It is our responsibility to take care of the house of God. He says, bring all of it so that there's meat in my house. God has given us responsibility of taking care of his house and of his people. Let us do so fervently in faith, knowing this much, that he is a good, good God. When you receive the word of the Lord, respond in kind by honoring God with your giving. And if you go to a steakhouse, or let's even simplify it, you go to McDonald's, you sit down, you eat, and you don't give, you just walk out. Do we do that? When you go to the house of God, bring something with you. Say, I appreciate what I've received today. I thank God that I've been blessed by his word. And God honors that. And when you position yourself to do that, God will always bring resources your way so that you can always honor him with your giving. I truly believe in that. Even when I'm not here, I'm giving. Because I know the house of God has to be taken care of. There are things that need to be addressed. So let us always remember to do that. And God's name will be glorified in us and through us. Amen. Well, bless you. Enjoy the fullness of God's goodness. And tonight, when you get home, have communion and say, God, open my eyes. Grant me revelation. That's your assignment tonight. Go home. Break bread. And ask God for revelation of who He is. It's important. When you face challenges and you don't know what to do, have communion. It's important. Because at that table is revelation. Do you remember? It was at that table that He even revealed who His traitor was going to be at the table of communion. It's a place of revelation for the good and for the bad. That's a secret. God bless you. For those of you on YouTube and Facebook, we thank God for you. Continue to enjoy the goodness of God. We look forward to seeing you on Wednesday for another time in the study of the Word of God. And of course on Friday, on Zoom, primarily, a time of praying together. We await the next time we can grow and share together. It's not just about me, it's about us.